إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, one of the greatest tools of leadership that Islam teaches us and which we learn from the Quran as well as from the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is the tool, the initiative, the process of mashwara, which is consultative decision making or decision making by consensus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al Imran, فَبِمَا رَحِمْتَ نَيْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al Imran, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَا يَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you dealt with them gently. Allah is talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dealing with the Sahaba. And so Allah said, and by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from you. So ignore their faults, forgive their faults, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for them and consult them in affairs, in the affairs, in the work that you are doing. Then when you have taken a decision, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who put their trust in Him. We see here basically four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. Allah is saying, first of all, the background of this is the attitude of the leader himself, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that whereas you need to be decisive, but if you are persuasive, if you are kind, if you are compassionate, if you know your people, if your people love you, then it makes life much easier. Whereas if you are hard and harsh and so on and so forth, then people will not stick to you. So the first thing we understand from this is the importance of the leader to be in touch with his followers in such a way that the followers love him and respect him. So Rasulullah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is the mercy of Allah on you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this kind of a temperament, this kind of a heart, where you are kind to people, where you are nice to them, where they love you. But instead of that, if you had been harsh, they would have broken away. So this is the background of this. This is the framework on which we are speaking. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said four things. Firstly, He said, so therefore, what you must do now is forgive them, ignore their faults, pass over their faults. So we are saying here that people will have faults, people will have things which might irritate you, but don't get stuck to that, don't get hooked to that, ignore that, forget that, and be, just pass over those things. So and forgive them. So fa'fu, forgive them. And then Allah said, wastaghfir lahum, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for them. So you forgive them and you ask Allah also to forgive them. So this is setting the framework, the mental framework for the people and the leader himself. So these are the first two things. And then Allah said, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah said, and make mashwara with them, consult them in the affairs of your work, in whatever you are doing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and then when you have taken a decision, when you have taken a decision, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah said, when you have taken a decision, then have complete and total faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't vacillate between decisions. Don't be in a state of should I do or should I not do. Once you have taken a decision, then stick to that decision and have faith and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who put their trust in Him. So as I said, four things. One is forgive people. Number two, ask Allah's forgiveness for those people. Number three, consult with people. And number four, once you have taken a decision, stick to it. Now we see this in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the finest examples of this is in the Battle of Badr, where when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left to go to intercept the caravan of Abu Sufyan, and they realize that this is not going to happen, that the caravan has escaped them, and instead they are going to end up facing the full might of the Quraysh, and they are going to face the Quraysh fighting forces in the field of Badr. Rasulullah ﷺ made mashwara with his entire army who was there. Rasulullah's army consisted of some muhajirun, but the majority of them were the Ansar of Medina. Now, Nabi ﷺ's contract, his covenant and his understanding with the Ansar was that they would protect him and they would fight for him in Medina. It did not extend to fighting or protecting him or fighting for him outside the borders of Medina. Now they were contemplating going to Badr, and there was no way that Rasulullah ﷺ could have done without the help of the Ansar. So what did he do? He didn't order them. He didn't say, here I am as the Rasul and you are Muslim, so you are bound to obey me. There is no way that you can disobey. So I am ordering you, we go and fight. He did not do that. He made mashwara. He asked them what they would say. So he explained to them, here is the situation. He put all the cards on the table. He did not hide anything. He did not pretend or try to paint a rosy picture. He did not say, well, you know, this is all fine, we can win. And he didn't say any of that. He told it to them. He said it to them like it was. And the picture was not a nice picture. It was a picture of great danger. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened their hearts, and these were people who were warriors themselves and they were proud of their military prowess. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, what do you think? What do you think we should do? So two or three of the muhajirun, they stood up and they said, Ya Rasulullah, we are with you, and Ya Rasulullah, we are, do whatever you like and we will obey. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jazakallah, he said, thank you, and he said, and somebody else, until the Ansar realized that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants to hear from them. So their leader then he stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you take us to the sea, we will take to the sea with you. And if you take us to Barkil Ghimad, we will definitely walk with you. And we will not say, as the people of Musa Alayhi Salam said to him, go with your Rabb and fight both of you and we will remain here. But we say, go and we are always with you, before you and on your right hand and on your left hand, ready to fight alongside you. Now this is a fantastic example of the benefit of mashwara, where because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this mashwara, he got the commitment of the people. Now you might say, well, why do you have to do mashwara at all? Especially in the case of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have a situation where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the Nabi, he is the one who is receiving wahi. Why does he need to ask anyone anything? He has complete information. He has information that other people do not have. So why must he ask anyone? The key thing is that we need to ask people. The main reason, the most important reason, is to get their commitment. If you simply order people, do this, do that, they may or may not be committed. Some will be committed, some will not be committed. But if you consult with them, and if you listen to them, then two very important things happen. Firstly, what happens is that you get their commitment. Secondly, what happens is that any disagreement, any dissonance, any difference of opinion gets unearthed right in the beginning. So you have time to deal with it before you are actually in a crisis situation. If you don't do that, then you might find very easily, and this in the seerah we know this happened, for example, in the Battle of Uhud, where halfway to the battleground, Ubay bin Salul took his people and he went away. Now, this is possible. This happens if you don't make mashwara and if people do not express their difference of opinion right in the beginning. In the case of Ubay bin Salul, it's a different issue. I'll come to that in a second. But the point here is that benefits of mashwara, one is that you get the commitment of people. Secondly, is that any dissonance or any difference of opinion gets unearthed and gets surfaced right in the beginning so that you have time to deal with it and you don't get surprised, you don't get a nasty shock in the middle of a process or in the middle of a crisis when you actually need the support of people. Now, how is mashwara to be done? There are a few critical points. Number one is that the way to do mashwara is that for every mashwara, you must choose a leader. The leader need not necessarily be the designated leader of the group. It can be somebody who has a key interest in that particular matter or has some key skill or key knowledge base in a particular matter. This person can be chosen as a leader even if that person is not the designated leader of the group. Second thing is that once that happens, the group also, as far as possible, must consist of people who have the necessary knowledge to give you good advice. Now, this may not always be possible. You might have to, like in the example I gave you in the matter of Badr as well as Uhud, it was the entire population, whoever was there. So it was hundreds of people who were being consulted. So in such a case, you don't have the choice of picking who you want. But definitely, if possible, we must have the right people in that group which we are talking to. So once that happens, then opinions are sought. The Amir, the leader of the Mashwara, he or she ask for opinions of people, and opinions are taken. And once opinions are taken, the Amir makes the decision. Now, as far as opinions are taken and given, a couple of important things to remember. If you are asked for an opinion, then you must give an opinion which in your view is the best opinion for the complete community, for that entire group. Not give an opinion which favors yourself, or not give an opinion which suits you or is to your convenience, even though it may inconvenience or not be in the interest of the larger group. So very important to ensure that you have the integrity to give the opinion which is best for everyone. Number one. Number two is, after giving the opinion, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek the forgiveness of Allah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from the evil of that particular opinion. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah knows and you do not know. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah said Allah knows and you do not know. So sometimes or many times we might give an opinion with the best intention, but we do not have perfect knowledge. So therefore our opinion may not be the best. So therefore we give an opinion when we are asked. When we, after giving the opinion, we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek the protection of Allah from the evil of that opinion. Third thing is, if you are not asked for an opinion, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah saved me from saying something which might not have been the best thing. You don't sit there and feel injured and hurt that I was not asked. No, you say, Alhamdulillah, I was not asked. Number four is that even if you are not asked, if you believe that you have information which is essential for the Amir to know, which is essential for the success of the project, then it is your job to volunteer that information even if you are not asked. The Amir is not a mind reader. The Amir does not know what's in your heart. So it's your job to say what needs to be said. Again, in Badr, we have this example of this. The Sahabi who suggested to Rasulullah ﷺ that they must camp in a different place from the place that Rasulullah ﷺ had first designated. This is an example of somebody who is volunteering his specialized knowledge, which he believes is useful or will be useful for the project. And in the case of Badr, this proved to be true. That is what happened. Finally, and very, very importantly, is once the Amir takes a decision, it is incumbent and necessary for everyone who has taken part in the Mashwara to stand by the Amir and to support that decision wholeheartedly, whether or not your opinion was sought, whether or not your opinion was taken. Irrespective of that, once you have taken part in the Mashwara, in the consultative decision-making, consensus decision-making process, it is your job to stand by the Amir and to fully and completely support that decision. What Ubay bin Salul did in Uhud is a classic example of what one should not do, which is that you take part in the Mashwara, and then because your opinion was not taken, you go after the Mashwara, you back out, and your action results in a debacle for the project, and the project fails because you did not support it at the critical time. And this is tantamount to treason, and this must never happen. So any difference of opinion, by all means share it in the meeting. Once the meeting is over, whether or not your difference of opinion was accepted, you must fully and completely support the Amir. No lobbying before the meeting, no lobbying after the meeting. This is a very, very critical thing to remember as far as Mashwara is concerned. If we do it like this, then you will find that inshallah the decisions that happen have khair and barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.